Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin with the fourth verse, read down through verse 23. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 is where we'll begin. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcerers. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen unto none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the beautiful hymns that we're singing. Thank you for the voices that were lifted up to you. We just pray today, Father, that everyone that hears the word, everyone that hears the word will respond to you. And they will come by faith to you, and they'll be saved. They'll recognize that they're a lost sinner and they need salvation. So please, dear Lord, today be the day of salvation for those that may be here that have never come by faith. So please, just guide and lead us, and just bless us with your word. Bring joy into our hearts as we've come together to study your precious word now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The preaching of the word. The preaching of the word, because of the martyrdom of Stephen as he was put to death, it did not stifle the word. It did not close the mouths of these witnesses. It opened their mouths. And it had driven them, many multitudes, from Jerusalem to all around the world, literally, to give out the gospel. And then we come to the fifth verse, and we find the deacon, Philip, went down to the city of Samaria. I believe he was so led of the Lord to go down and to preach the word of God unto them. And they preached Christ unto them, the scripture says. Again, Philip was a deacon. This preaching is to announce, to tell forth, to proclaim the word of God, to tell the truth. Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven deacons, went into Samaria. Samaria probably went into the capital city, which also was named Samaria. If you'll notice, it's kind of strange because then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Never ceases to amaze me how that you can always continue to learn. In the Sunday school class this morning, when we looked at Moses and it says that God spoke to him and he says, I'm the God of your father. And then the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. I'd never seen where he pauses and says, the God of your father. I missed that. I also missed, how many times through the scripture do we talk about the city of Samaria? Where's Samaria? It's down. Down south. Samaria is not south. Samaria is 30, 40 miles north of Jerusalem. Why did it say he went down? Because he went down. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Samaria. Samaria is up on a little hill, but Samaria is much lower than Jerusalem. And they said that's the reason that in the scripture, they literally went down. They went down the hill to Samaria, even though it was north. And it's almost straight north, north and just a little bit to the side, but it was basically straight north. But it says he went down to Samaria, but that's about 40 miles north of Jerusalem. Get your maps out this afternoon and look to see where Samaria is found. And it's right next to Sychar. It's not very far away from Sychar. If you can, it may be a little easier even to find than Samaria. And so, capital city, about 40 miles north, and we know this name Samaria because didn't our Lord Jesus go to a well called Jacob's Well in the city of Samaria, in the land of Samaria? And so this isn't the first time that we have heard these words. Now, is this near where Philip, where he entered into the area here to speak the word of God? We're not told. But I would like for you to go back with me to John chapter 4, verse 5. Went through the books of the Bible this morning in the Sunday school class so we can find these areas and learn how to pronounce them properly and things like that. John chapter 4, verse 5. John chapter 4, verse 5. And it says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, to spare us some time, you can read the rest of that chapter this afternoon, but let's look on to the 39th verse to see the results. See what happened, because, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that he ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. So they heard the word of God, the witness of the Lord Jesus at the well, brought the Samaritan woman to the Lord Jesus. She testified of the Lord Jesus, and many in Samaria were saved at that time. And so now we come to a time of about 4 years later. Philip goes down into the same region, into the land of Samaria, to probably the city of Samaria, and preaches the word of God. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now the results here are great, because we see in verse 6, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, again, did the Lord Jesus, you know, many times the word is sown by one, watered by another. Another has the opportunity to lead them to the Lord Jesus, and we know the Lord Jesus is the soul winner. He's the one that can bring folks to the Lord Jesus Christ and no other. But God has chosen to use us as messengers of His precious word. And so here we find Philip coming down, and did he reap some of the pleasures and the joy that the Lord Jesus had sown earlier? Possibly, but they received the word with one accord. They listened. They took heed to what Philip was speaking. These folks heard the salvation message. That's what Philip went down to preach, was the salvation message. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message that we need to take out. The simple message of salvation. Folks need to be saved. They don't need to be instructed in the doctrine that we have. They need to be taught the precious salvation so that they know, they recognize that they are a lost sinner and they need salvation. That's what we need to tell folks. And so somewhere in the visiting, when you're talking to folks, be sure and make clear the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. So many folks get in a discussion about baptism. They get into a discussion about eternal security. We get into many, many discussions. And they are all of no value until that person that you're speaking to knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so please, don't try to indoctrinate them into the doctrines, the precious doctrines of the Word of God, until they know Jesus. That's the message that you must give them. They're sinners. They're lost. I was a sinner. I was lost. The only way that I can see the truth and I can enjoy the truth is because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. He took my sin away. And then the Spirit of God came to live within my heart. Now I can look to the doctrines in the precious word and know the truth and grow and enjoy and change from the wicked ways to the ways of Christ. But not until then. And so Philip, when he went down into this area, now, yes, Jesus was in there some 4 years earlier. How many folks were saved were not told. Probably not a great group, because the city of Samaria and the land of Samaria, you know, there's you can study the history of it. I'm not going to take time right now. But they have been an area of wickedness. It is the center, so to speak, of the northern kingdoms. And if you'll remember that the 10 tribes, the northern kingdoms, never once had a good king. Every king was a wicked king. And so what did they have to worship? They had a golden calf in Bethel and up in Dan that they had built. You can go worship your God there. Well, how much of a lie is that? They were to always come those three times a year to Jerusalem. But the king of the northern kingdom said, that's not necessary. We want things convenient. And that's the way people worship God today, in convenience. You don't want to be put out. Well, we should be willing to do anything for our God. Not to, it'd be such a shame that it would be inconvenient for you to come to church on Sunday morning. You know, you got better things to do. So let's have Saturday night. And some of them are having Friday night and Thursday night and Saturday afternoon so it's convenient for you to go. Well, I can't say none of those folks are saved, but I'm going to tell you very few of them are. Because if you're serving God in convenience, you don't know the God that I know. You don't possess the salvation that I possess. Because it is for us to serve our God, not for God to serve us in some manner or another. Philip went down into an area that was full of cults and idol worship. This region, this area, it wouldn't have been any different than when Jonah went into Nineveh. It would be comparable to that as far as the evilness of the land. And so, yes, in Nineveh was totally Gentile. But here they worshipped idols. There was nothing that they loved of the true God Jehovah. Philip went down into that area and he proclaimed the word, and they listened and they heard and they responded, and they come by faith to Jesus. Why? Because Philip proclaimed the word of God. That's why. We proclaim the word of God. We tell people Jesus saves. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died for you. And they took heed. They listened. They responded. They come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was there, as it said in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. We are the part of the kingdom of God. We are the church. We have come by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a part of that kingdom. And that's what Philip come to preach. You leave your idols. You leave your sacrifices that you're offering unto idols. And you come and serve the true God. And they came in unity. It was a joy with unity. The hearts and the minds, they gave heed. They believed his message. Again, which means they believed the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted in Jesus. By faith they called upon him, and they were truly born again. Now something happened here because of, remember, and many folks and many religions have gotten mixed up with the healing and the miracles and all these things. We're in a transitional period here. From the time that Jesus died on the cross and the church was born at Pentecost, and now as the apostles and other young believers go out and the church begins to grow and the word of God is not complete, we're in a transitional period here. And so a lot of things are different. One thing is the Holy Spirit didn't come into the heart immediately, if you'll notice. All these things are transitional things, as well as the healing here. The healing and the casting out of the demons, all these things. And they witnessed those. The people with one accord, back to verse 6, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now listen, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed. Now these unclean spirits, remember the swine. They said, you know, don't cast us out. Cast us into the swine. You see, they have to have a body. They want a body. And so here, as Philip came down with the power of God, and it's a power in the means of healing, of touching and healing, and the things that were done here. This is a special power that was given during that transitional period, a power that Peter had and that Philip had, that Paul had for a period of time. Those things are gone. Those men aren't here anymore. We have the completed word of God. So no longer do we have what we see here. This is the transitional period. So keep that in mind as we're looking through these verses of Scripture. But these folks came, and there was... The unclean spirits cried with a loud voice as they came out. They did not want to leave their possession. They possessed that tabernacle. They possessed that person, and they didn't want to come out. And when Philip cast them out, why, they were crying and screaming, please no, please no. And yet they were cast out. And then also we had those with palsy, and that were lame, they were all healed. And so please that you see the power and the strength, and don't miss the miracles that were being performed here that all were seeing. Because as we look at that, it brought something into these people that were truly saved. It brought into them great joy. And when a person is saved, when one person is born again and saved, when 1,000 people are born again and saved. It doesn't matter. There should be great joy, and we should be so excited. I'm sad to say that I think the church has somewhat held that joy down, and we don't think we can share that joy. We can't show that emotion of what happened the day we got saved. And that's kind of sad that we have brought ourselves to the place that we can't be excited about Jesus Christ coming into our hearts. We're not exploding with joy, and that's what was taking place here, and there was great joy in that city. Now we come to verse 9. And the reason I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about the miracles and the things that were taking place is because of this man, Simon. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before times in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, gave out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is a great power of God." Just because a man says that I'm a man of God doesn't mean he's a man of God. And just because these cults and these religions that say the name of God and say, "God has spoke to me this and God has done that," you need to search the Holy Spirit that's in your heart, because he will show you that this individual is a false prophet. This individual is a liar. And many times when they use the name of God, it's used only for their own glory. What did this man Simon want? He wanted power and he wanted riches, and he had both. He had, it is said, from the least to the greatest took heed to him. He had a tremendous following, and it was all through sorcery and witchcraft. You go to have a so-called healing service today, and a preacher comes, and we're going to have a healing service today. Well, number one, don't go. Don't go to start with. But if you would go, you would find out that it is all through witchcraft and all through deception that's taking place. Because there is no man today that has that ability to touch you and heal you. Our God can heal you in a second if he chooses to. We have a God that loves to heal. Sometimes he uses surgeons. Sometimes it's just a presence. We watched at age 5 that without question, God healed Dan. He was facing open heart surgery, and in one day he went from open heart surgery to a husky kid, and it was the healing power of God. It was a test that Susan and I was to go through. We went through that test, and it was a growing time, and we didn't know what God had in mind, but God just healed him. He healed him. He took a monstrous hole in between the two chambers of his heart that you could physically hear. And in one day, it was gone. It was gone. God heals. He does. He still heals. But he doesn't use some man to do it. And so if you see that and you hear that being announced somewhere, you see it on television, please stay totally, completely away from it. Don't have anything to do with it, because it is witchcraft. It's demonic. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Don't investigate it. Don't look into it. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. It's all about money. It's all about money. We talked about that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Follow the money. Follow the money. And you're going to find out where a person's heart is. And we're going to find that here very quickly. And what's happened here now, all this was taking, we heard about Simon, for whom they gave heed, verse 10, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." That's what the people were saying. And I'm sure he accepted that title. "And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." He was good at what he did, and he deceived these people, and he was raking in the money, and he was lifting himself up higher and higher, and he was a proud, arrogant fool that was under the name of God was getting rich, and that's what he was doing. But when Philip, verse 12, but when they believed Philip, when the crowd believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized, both men and women, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, right there, it should make you wonder about Simon's heart. Because what was Simon interested in? Simon was not interested in repenting and saying, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving this wicked soul." What did Simon have his eyes on? He had his eyes on things that was going to make him money. And he looked at that and he saw, what did it say? He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. He was taken in by this power because it was a power greater than he had ever experienced. Because he knew what he was doing was fake. What he was doing was phony. But what Philip was doing was real. There's something here. I want it. Instead of saying, "God, thank you for saving me. How can I further your name?" That wasn't in his heart at all. All Simon wanted was to have that power. I want that power. Now, what do we do with those words up at the beginning? And Simon himself believed also. And he was baptized. He believed and was baptized. What do we do with those words? When we get on down into this section here, and we see that he's not interested in other salvation. He's not interested in his sins being forgiven. He's interested in miracles and wonders that Philip's doing. That's what he's looking to. Now, verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. That's quite a powerhouse coming down. You know, one older, Peter's older, John's younger, and sends these two strong evangelists, these strong preachers down to help Philip because the great growth and the excitement that was going on, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, don't be confused. Don't make it more than what it is. We're in a transitional period. We're in the middle here between the time that the church started and the Word of God was complete. We're in that period of time between. And so we could take a lot of time trying to explain and define and figure out what's going on here. That's the best explanation. We're in a transitional period here between times. And so then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 18. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, oh, now he's seen miracles. He's seen people healed. He's seen stuff that's real. I'm fake. I mean, he didn't tell anybody that, but that's exactly what it was. He was a fake. He was a phony. He was a liar. And he was watching this. Well, sad to say, the confession he made to Philip was a lie too, because he didn't believe. I don't believe for a second that this man Simon is saved. He believed in the miracles. He believed in what Philip was doing, and he loved that, but he had no concern for his soul. Now, when someone gets saved, when someone's born again, it may be a period of time, it may be a little bit of time before you begin to see some fruit. You see them begin to desire to serve the Lord. You see their heart changing, And it's a lifetime adventure in changing and being like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lifetime. But it starts, and you begin to produce fruit. Well, we're seeing the fruit of Simon. What's Simon say here? He offered them money. I want to buy what you've got, Philip. I don't know where you got it, and I don't know how you got it, but I want to buy it. And remember, Simon's rich. Simon's got money. Simon's already been fooling the people, and he's the dollar sign. Have you ever looked at that? You know, looking at doing something, and the dollar signs get ting, 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 ting. You know, have you ever used QuickBooks? Why, when you deposit something, it goes ka-ching. You know, it does that when you do that. Well, you know, people do that when they see, oh, I got a spot where I can make some bucks here. I'm gonna make some money, and their mind gets you ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Well, that's exactly what was going on in Simon's mind. He was looking at a power and a strength that he had never seen before. And the only way he knew how to get it is how he got everything else. Buying it. You buy it. You buy it. Philip said, in verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Philip knew by the fruit. I can't see into your heart, you can't see into mine. But we know by the fruit, as you grow and as you change, it may be very slowly, it may be very rapidly for a while, and then it's kind of like when, you know, children. All of a sudden, you know, you can watch the children, and they don't change in height. They don't grow at all. You know, you see them for 2 years and they don't change. Then all of a sudden, 6 months passes and they grew a foot. You know, and you know, we do the same thing when it comes to growing in the Lord. We may grow very rapidly for a little while, and then due to not maybe staying with the Lord, we hamper ourselves and we stop that growth or slow it down. And then all of a sudden we surrender again and we have that spurt of growth. Well, it's the same way here with Simon. Philip saw very quickly that this man Simon, when he said he believed, was a lie, as everything else in Simon's life was. He was a liar. He was a liar. And understand, we're going to close with this, we're out of time, but understand that the world today is full of liars. The world is full of these deceivers. So please seek and search the Word of God and the will of God so that you can know who is and who is not true. And the only way we can do that is to see the fruit. Can't see into the heart, but we can see the fruit that you're producing. That's how we can see the change. We'll pick up here with this man, Simon, and we'll stop here at 18 where he offers the money, and we'll begin there next week. And so please don't miss to see what Philip has to say about that. And then when Philip gets done with Simon, he just stays in Samaria forever, doesn't he? You know, he's off to the Gaza Strip. He's down to, and that's one of my favorite stories in the Word of God is attaching himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. And so, please don't miss one study of the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and just fellowship over the Word of God and look to the city of Samaria. There wouldn't be a place in all the world that was much more wicked than what Samaria was. And yet the Lord Jesus was there. And we find back in John that he was, talked to the woman at the well. And she brought the word to that area. And how much over that four-year period did it grow? Did it change? We're not told. But when Philip, led by the Spirit of God, to go down into that area, proclaimed the word of God. And very similar to Jonah and Nineveh, they came in with one accord. They were in unity. They heard that word. They believed that word. They trusted in that word. And then you've got Simon. Father, this old world's full of Simons. Help us not to be duped by them, not to be suckered into their ways, but we see who they are and what they are, and we recognize that and can turn away and help others to turn away as well. Thank you for your word, the precious word of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please touch every heart today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.